You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Paul Eales.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Pavan powers past Podrick in Prague to win the D plus D Real Czech Masters.
Not realizing what I achieved, to be honest. Playing today, I knew it was going to be tough. Patrick has got so much experience, such a great player. He played lovely, but I think the pad on 16 was massive. I'm going back home. We're having a second baby, so we're really excited about that, and I can't wait to celebrate with my family.
So double delight for the Italian, but it wasn't to be a sweet 16th European Tour title for Harrington.
You know, I didn't feel like I lost it. He played great there coming home. He held a decisive putt, so yeah, I'd have to be in that position every week, and you know, I'll get my fair share of wins, but it wasn't my day today.
A full review to come. Plus, we'll look ahead to the Made in Denmark, the final qualifying event ahead of next month's Ryder Cup in Paris. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined by Paul Eales, a man who has enjoyed success on the European Tour, the Challenge Tour, and the Senior Tour, and now the Stasia Tour. The triumvirate. You've got them all, Paul.
I've got them all, Rob.
You've got them all.
Great to be here. Some great golf last weekend as well.
There certainly was. It's always nice when you see a player that's probably deserved his win, and that's certainly in the case of Andrea Pavan.
Yeah, very much so. It's been a long road, hasn't it? He had a great amateur career, Italy in the boys' team, the youth team, the senior team. I think he represented Europe as well, went to the States, had a glittering college career at Texas A&M, and has taken a little while, although he did introduce himself onto the Challenge Tour in 2011, where he finished runner-up to Tommy Fleetwood. Wins it in 2013, but didn't get a foothold on tour until just last year. Four wins on the Challenge Tour, so...
How important is that, that you've done it on the Challenge Tour, you've won on the Challenge Tour?
Yeah, I think at most levels. He's won at most levels. It's still different steps along the way, but I think in the back of his mind, he would have known on the back nine yesterday afternoon, I am a winner. Different circumstances, but I know how to get this done.
You know, it was a great duel between the two of them because Podrick Harrington would also have been a fantastic story had he won.
Yes, he would. And it was great to see Podrick up there with his, I'm not sure what number new swing it is, but it was a little stutter in the backswing as he took it away and then a bit of a step coming through. But the distance that Podrick's now hitting the golf ball is way beyond what he did when he was winning his majors.
Well, he was, you know, Pavan's a long hitter and he was not looking out of place alongside Andrea Pavan.
No, not at all. It was great to see him again, and unfortunately, or was it unfortunate? Did he falter on the back nine?
Not really.
No, it was Andrea. It was a fantastic back nine of 31, didn't it, to win the championship?
It looked like after the front nine had been completed, they were playing together, that Harrington had the upper hand. He didn't look like making a mistake at that point.
No, he didn't. He was, what was he, three shots clear with nine holes to go, and he looked like he was playing nicely. You know, just one little putt that disappeared, but then when he nearly holed his iron shot at the, was it the 13th, the par 3?
13th, he hit it to a 5-iron, 200 and plus yards to a couple of inches.
It was a magnificent shot.
It looked like the tournament-winning shot, didn't
correct.
It?
Correct, that's what I thought when I saw it. I thought, well, this is it now, and what a story that was going to be, but Andrea had a different story.
Well, Andrea, to birdie the 14th, it was Harrington that made a mistake off the tee at 15, didn't make his par. And then 16 and 17, 16's pin position, that par 3, with the sort of left tongue with the water around it, was a horror story.
It was.
To make two there was...
Yeah. Well, there was no green, was there? It was just water all around. And I think Andrea's heart must have been in his mouth when he saw that iron shot just crawl over the water onto the green.
But he was calling for it to get down.
Was he really?
Yeah, because he thought when he hit it, oh, no, I'm going to go long.
Right.
And he just cleared the front of it.
It only just climbed onto the green, but then bang the putt in, didn't he?
And then Podrick, who'd hit the better iron shot into probably 12 feet or so, I sort of thought he was going to follow him in, I must say.
Yeah, it was the story was written for him to knock it in, and it didn't, did it? So,
but then 17's a tough par 4, and
again,
Andrea Pavan's long iron off the tee went 280 yards.
It was a long iron.
Oh, it was a long iron.
Yeah.
And to birdie that hole, Paul, when it was the hardest hole on the course all day, with the timing, 71st hole, is incredible.
It is, and at that point put him two shots clear with just 18 to play.
And the 18th hole, again, there's water involved down the left-hand side. It's only an iron from the tee, but you can make a ricket there if you get it wrong.
Of course you can, and I think that's probably where you look back at the experience of getting a win over the line, and he played the hole beautifully, didn't look in any trouble, and unfortunately Padraig couldn't put any extra pressure on him by holing his birdie and two putts for the win.
Yeah, I thought Andrea was marvellous on the back nine. Padraig was fantastic entertainment through the week, and Malaysia's number one player last year, Gavin Green, that boy is a long hitter.
Yes, he is. Not necessarily on the right fairway, but he
does. Do you know, on Saturday that would be true, but yesterday he drove it fantastic. He was beautiful off the tee and long. He won his weight or a year's supply of beer for the longest drive at...
The ninth.
Nine, yeah. Longest drive at nine. He was 360-odd yards.
Yeah, that's a kind of big biff, isn't it? And I know I was reading his press details afterwards, and he said he's going to have quite a party with his pals. So he'll be even more popular when he gets back home to Malaysia.
Well, they find a lot of new friends, that's for sure. Social media-wise, it's been busy. Chris Paisley said, brilliant, Andrea. Well done, mate. Richard McAvoy, congratulations, Andrea. Fantastic win, mate. Francesco Molinari did not use the word mate. He just said very happy for you with a lot of little champagne emojis. So it's time to get the most recent champion on the European Tour on the line, Andrea Pavan. You must be delighted, Andrea, the way that worked out yesterday.
Yes, I'm ecstatic. I mean, it's just something you dream about, and then you start doubting yourself if it's going to happen. And to be honest, 12 months ago, I was really struggling with my game, and after yesterday to actually have won a European Tour event, it's just an incredible feeling.
What turned things around, Andrea?
Just worked on mainly one thing, just trying to get a bit of working on my form, and then slowly the results started to come. But it was such a low point that it was tough. It just took a lot of time to build the confidence back up, because when you really don't know where the ball is going for a while and you start missing cuts on the Challenge Tour, it's difficult. And we just kind of sat down with my coach, started working on some things, and just kept working on the same thing and, you know, slowly improving. And we found some good things, and they seem to be working.
Andrea, congratulations. It's been a long journey, your 112th appearance on the European Tour, eventually getting a win. But how much has your history with the Italian Federation and your four wins on the Challenge Tour, how did they come into play over that back nine yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the fact that I have won on the Challenge Tour helped, but it was such a long time ago, and every win is different. You just come in playing different and on different golf courses and different situations. And I felt like yesterday I was nervous but calm. I just stayed aggressive mentally, and I wasn't too worried if I actually didn't win. I wanted to win, but it wasn't like all I wanted. So it was a great feeling.
You were dueling with Padraig Harrington in that final round, and he had the early jump on you. At what point did you think, I tell you what now, I got a chance here?
To be honest, after nine holes, my chances were pretty low. I was failing by three shots, and so at that point, I was just wanted to not lose too much ground and kind of stay within a couple of shots coming down the last few holes, because I know they were a little difficult and you can get a couple of shots if you make a couple of birdies. But after he hit an amazing 5-iron on 13 to go two shot ahead, I was just more thinking about my own game, just trying to make birdies. And I wasn't expecting him to make any bogeys. So when we got tied on 15, after he missed that par putt, my mentality was the same, just don't worry too much about the results. Just try to make another birdie or two, and ended up making two, which was unbelievable.
So you've now moved up into 138th on the world rankings, but you have to rush off home. You've got a big event coming up this week. Tell us about it.
Yes, definitely. My wife is getting induced, and we're going to have a second baby, a little girl. We already have a two-year-old boy, so we're really excited. So it just worked out perfectly, to be honest. And we're just really excited to welcome her into our life.
So, Andrea, will you take some paternity leave, or are you going to get straight back out on the golf course because you've now got some really good form going?
Yes, so I think I will probably get back for Cron and maybe play Cron and KLM. But it will depend on how things go, how my wife is doing, how the baby's doing. So that is the plan, but there's always a chance we will have to modify it.
Andrea, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day. I know you're in transit at the minute, going back to your lovely wife and the birth of your second child. Many congratulations from all of us here on the Race to Dubai show. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Well, it's great when you hear someone who's just won for the first time. You can sense underneath there's a lot of excitement there in Andrea Pavan, no doubt about that. And his second child, just a few days away. Now, stats-wise, it was the Italian's 22 under par total that set a new record for the event, eclipsed the winning score of Thomas Peters back in 2015 by two shots. Pavan's win comes in his 112th European Tour event and sees him move to 39th from 53rd in the Race to Dubai rankings presented by Rolex. And it's the third Italian win, the third one for the Italians in 2018, although the owner of the other two is the same person. Francesco Molinari picked the BMW PGA Championship to win and the Open to win. That's not a bad pair, is it?
That's a good double, Rob.
If you're going to win two tournaments, those would be the ones you'd probably pick. So for Pavan, played well last year, around about 50th in the Race to Dubai, and he's improving this year. That's all you look for, isn't it? Improvement.
Yeah, it is. And I think he puts a lot of that down to a new driver that was built for him by the engineers on Callaway, I think. I think he's a Callaway staff player.
He is.
So he's quite happy with that off the tee. But to me, the way he putted that week and the confidence that he got coming in off a sixth place the week before in Nordea obviously gave him the strength to go through and win in fine style.
His putting on the Saturday was absolutely magnificent. I don't know what the footage was that he accrued over the round, but 150, I'm going to say 150 feet minimum.
Yeah.
Putts that he holds. And they all went in the middle, and they all went in at the right speed.
Yeah, there were lengthy putts. There was one on Saturday, I'm not sure which hole, but it was the whole length of the green, and it nearly went in. I mean,
that was the par three. It was 16. He was right at the front of the green. He had to come up a couple of slopes, and it just died at the very end. I mean, it was very difficult, the two-putt.
Yeah, it was.
And he nearly held it.
Yeah.
Well, let's get the thoughts of the bridesmaid on this occasion, Padraig Harrington.
You know, to shoot 20 under par in any golf course, you've got to put some numbers together. So I'm happy with that. As I said, Andrea just finished really well. He played lovely golf all day, to be honest. And he made the putts at the decisive time, made those birdies coming home. And it's a pity, but, you know, as I said, I'll settle for playing like this most weeks, and I will give myself plenty of chances to win. And I know it's a numbers game that, you know, some weeks it will be my turn for the putts to drop and the right shot at the right time.
I think Padraig's got an amazing attitude. On the Saturday when he was interviewed, he said, after a flawless bogey-free 65, what do you feel about that round? How pleased are you with your performance? He says, it's a day too early. It's only Padraig would come out with that. He says, it's a day too early. I kind of wished it was a glide through the course on a Sunday afternoon and I sweep away and win it. He said, but, you know, I'm willing to go with the punches tomorrow. And that's what he had to do. Winning is difficult. Doesn't matter where you are. Well, he must be pleased, though, the form that he's found.
Yeah, definitely. You could hear the disappointment in his voice there that he didn't win. Three shots clear with nine holes to play. Is that going to...
It's not a given, that.
No, it's not going to grind away, but I think he was courteous enough to appreciate what Andrea did coming home in 31. And like Padraig says, it's a numbers game. Anytime you shoot 31, you're probably not going to be beaten.
Yeah, Harrington was very impressive. He really was. Gavin Green was the man in third spot, but more importantly, as we said before, the Malaysian snagged himself a year's supply of beer after winning the longest drive on the ninth hole at the Albatross Golf Resort.
And do you like beer?
I love beer. I love beer, no problem.
And do you know what you've won for longest drive on the ninth? So you've won quite a few beers?
Yeah, so I'm going to, if it comes to Malaysia, all my buddies in Malaysia, free flow beer.
You do get some unusual prizes, don't you? You know, hole-in-one prizes. There was a bed. Alexander Canepa won a bed. A very expensive bed, having said that. I think 25,000 quid's worth, I think. That's a bed.
And didn't Sully get a trip to the Mars or something, or around the moon or something? And
Andy Sullivan has a space in a rocket at some point that's going to be built and take you into orbit.
I bet he's looking forward to that then.
I don't know. Would you go?
No.
Not a chance. I wouldn't go up in a hot air balloon. Would you go up in one of those?
What about...
So you're up in this fabric canopy and there's a bloke trying to set fire to it in the basket that you're standing in. I'm not going up in that. Eddie Pepperell may have finished in a tie for ninth, but didn't finish with all his clubs after giving one away to a spectator.
Yeah, if he's still around, he can have the other 13 maybe, but he told me my ball hit a sprinkler on the last and kicked it on and he gave me a clap for my shot in and it was the only one I heard clapping, so I said, you know, you can have my lob wedge.
He's different, Eddie, isn't he?
It's class, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
he's engaging
excellent.
With everybody.
Absolutely, yeah? Excellent.
It.
Yeah, hilarious. Top 10 from Prague, please, Paul.
Top 10 from Prague. So in tied ninth, we had Jeff Winter, Pontus Wiedegren, Hunter Stewart, Matthias Schwab, and Thomas Peters, Eddie Pepperell, and Pachara Kongwatmai. Julien Guerriere, Lucas Beauregard, they were all tied ninth. Seventh was Jacques Kreizvaik. Seventh is also Ganganjeet Bular. Sixth, Tom Lewis. Fourth, Lee Slattery and Scott Jameson. In third place was Gavin Green. Second, Padraig Harrington. And our winner was Andrea Pavan.
John Daly was playing very well in the first round. 64. Didn't quite keep it up through the week, but good to see him across.
Yeah, no surprise. Big John, one of the most talented golfers, has everything. I'm fortunate enough to play with him a couple of years ago in Paris. Smashes it still mild and puts like an angel.
Amazing that the length of swing is, his flexibility has remained.
Yes, it has. Yeah. And but the length of swing, even for a wedge, but the timing and the tempo of the swing changes, yeah, obviously for distance. But brilliant to see him.
Last week's predictions. It's presenter versus co-presenter, head-to-head for the year. You get two picks each. One has to be the one that you think will win, anybody. And one has to be from last year's 2017 Race to Dubai, but outside the top 50. 20 points for a win, 10 for top 5, 5 for top 20, minus 5 for an MC. Now, I have a bugbear this week. I'll talk you through it. I went for Thomas Peters, who finished ninth, so 5 points for Thomas. And Andrew Johnson, the beef, missed the cut, so minus 5 for him. So I'm on 0 points. Richard Boxall, in your absence, went for Matt Wallace, who finished 36th, so he was neutral, 0 points. And he went for Julien Suri, who finished a couple under, tied 35th on the web.com tour. So somehow, for someone that was playing, I get minus 5 points. And Boxall, who picks a guy that's not even playing in Julien Suri, gets 0 points.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right, Rob.
It's got a bad smell to it, that.
Yeah, but on this side of the table, I think Boxy should... he's all right, he didn't play, so he didn't lose anything. Zero points.
So that's better than... You get more points. Yeah. You get more points for not even playing than you do for playing and missing the cut.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have picked B, should you?
Oh, there you go. Well, I got 105 points, or whoever's sitting in this seat and in your seat, represented by 85 points. So it's 20 the diff. Big week coming up, Paul.
Big week coming up, Rob.
And I've seen who you're going to pick. I mean, you're going for it. Get to that in a minute. In the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, it's seemingly the irremovable Ingmar Bergman that's still out in front of the global standings, while Martin O'Connell got the most points last week. In the Race to Dubai Show Mini League, listener Mike Embley was the highest scorer from the Czech Masters, while Chris Coles is still out in front. Check out the Fantasy 3 to watch for the Made in Denmark this week on europeantour.com. Top 10, please, Ilzy, in the Race to the Dubai standings.
In 10th place is Rafa Cabrera-Bello. 9th is Tyrrell Hatton. 8th, Russell Knox. 7th, John Rahm. 6th, Torbjörn Olesen. 5th is Alex Noren. 4th, Rory McIlroy. 3rd, Tommy Fleetwood. 2nd is Patrick Reed. And the top of the pile, Francesco Molinari.
And in other news, Finland's Kim Koivu has secured European Tour status after winning for a third time on the Challenge Tour this season at the Rolex Trophy in Switzerland. So we may well see him this week in Denmark or in Switzerland the week after.
Yeah, I looked at that. I don't think he's in the field this week. And he did say that he wasn't sure whether he was going to see out the rest of the Challenge Tour season. Very strange.
Oh, well, I wouldn't if I was him. I'd just go straight onto the main tour.
Absolutely right. And yeah, so that was surprising for me. But I don't think he's in the field this week in Denmark.
OK, it's also congratulations to Australia's Peter Fowler, who I was speaking to at dinner, actually, at the British Par 3. And he's saying he hits the ball further now than he's ever hit it in his life. There's quite a few seniors say that.
Yeah, Chucky does. And he works out like you wouldn't believe as well. He's hitting so many balls always on the putting green. If he's not on the putting green, he's in the gym.
Well, he claimed the Stacia Tour's Willows Senior Golf Classic by 2 shots. Well done to Peter Fowler. You played, didn't you?
I did, yes. I had
Hang on, you finished tied 14th.
Yes, I had a...
When I saw you this morning, your jaw was down, like your face was tripping, you like you shot 95.
Well, I sort of did on the final day. You know what it's like when I had a chance to win.
Oh, you were there with a chance, were you?
I was. Ego got
in
the way.
What position were you in going into the final round?
I think I was about fourth or fifth.
Oh, so you're right there.
Two behind I was.
2 shots back.
But I must say, it was a fantastic event at Hanbury Manor. Duncan Sinclair is an extraordinary benefactor of the Willow Foundation that is run by Bob and Megs Wilson, ex-Arsenal footballer. And a great charity it is, and they do a lot of sterling stuff. And it was nice to see Bob on the first tee. Everybody was going out, and then he was on the 18th green to see everybody come in.
Is there a charity called Help the Seniors?
It's called the Stacia Tour.
It's called the Stacia Tour. That's what it's called. On the PGA Tour, Bryson DeChambeau. He's fun to watch, is Bryson. Does it his own way. Enhanced his chances of... Mate, he's in. Don't worry, he's in the US Ryder Cup team by winning the first of the 4 FedEx Cup playoff events. The Northern Trust in New Jersey by 4 shots. 24-year-old finished 18 under par, 4 shots clear of compatriot Tony Finau, who is looking for a pick because their automatic 8 is done and dusted. It's about the next picks. We'll talk about that in a minute. US captain Jim Furyk will announce 3 of his 4 picks after the Dell Technologies Championship, which starts on Friday because of Labor Day. So it's a bank holiday weekend in America, and the final one after the BMW Championship the following week. So DeChambeau finished 9th in the automatic list. So he's in. And after that, on top of that, he's won the first FedEx. So he's in. Right. Then you've got in the rankings as they finished Tiger and Phil.
Yes.
They're in.
You're going for those.
I'm saying that Jim Furyk is not going to unpick one of those.
Right, okay.
So there's 3. He's got one more. And those looking for picks...
Tony Finau.
Tony Finau now, who finished 2nd last week. You're looking for form. A guy coming into his top form, it would be Tony Finau. He's right there in the FedEx Cup rankings.
Xander Schauffele, you'd put into that category.
Kevin Kisner in the mix.
Snedeker, who shot 59 the other week.
Snedeker won the Wyndham. Yeah, you might look at him. Matt Kuchar.
Matt Kuchar would be mine.
So there's one pick. If the other 3 are given, there is one pick for all those players that we just talked about there. Yeah. Not easy.
It's not. No. I would go for Matt Kuchar, though.
I think I can see why you're going for that kind of solid, safe.
Yeah, I
think if Finau plays well again this week, after playing very well in the majors this year, I think he's got a chance of getting a pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tony Finau.
Tough job.
Oh, it is a tough job, yeah. Being a captain is not easy. And Thomas Bjorn's got his problems. Don't worry about that. A word on Tyrrell Hatton. He wasn't happy with his putter in New Jersey, and the sponsored trucks had already gone, so he went and bought one for $172. I'm sure he can offlay that against his tax bill. And had the best round of the day, 64, with a new putter.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, just go in the golf store there and just pick one or two, roll them. Oh, they're always good, aren't they? But it's amazing in practice how many putts your hole with a new putter. Not always the same when you transfer that to the course, but for Tyrrell, it did the job.
Yeah, it's...
Will it be in the bag this week?
Oh, it's a certainty to start.
To start.
I think his tried and tested is probably going to... It's getting a warning. It's got a yellow card. It's not a red card. Just got a yellow card. Yeah. Sin bin. It probably will make a comeback when the novelty and the 64s run out with the new one.
The honeymoon period.
The honeymoon period, that's right.
Yeah.
As Seve once said, when Peter Baker first was amateur playing in pro events, turned pro, and he was shooting 67 every time he went out there. Someone said to Seve, what do you think about this new kid, Peter Baker? He says, very good, very good. This is the honeymoon. After the honeymoon comes the marriage. So it's kind of what you're saying. And it was announced last week that Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, they tried to get Paul Eales. Paul is busy this week, so actually Phil's taking Paul's place. They're going head-to-head in I think a $9 million winner-takes-all exhibition match in Las Vegas. 19 major titles between them, although Tiger's got 14. They'll face off at Shadow Creek Golf Course in Vegas in November over Thanksgiving weekend in the States. It's going to be pay-per-view. Your thoughts?
Personally, for me, it's come about 10 years too late. I would have liked to have seen them...
For those two, you mean?
For those two.
Okay.
When they really didn't like each other and they were both flying at the tops of the games, that would have been really interesting. But is it any different to what that Shell's Wonderful World of Golf was, where you had two of the best players go head-to-head round a wonderful golf course and shared some money?
Who used to do that, Shell's Wonderful World of Golf?
Whitaker, was it?
Yeah, Jack Whitaker. And to say Trevina and Lee, we've got this beautiful Rolex watch for you. And I always got a Rolex at the end. I can say Rolex on this show because they're a big part of our tour. Yeah, it was very fun. I mean, there were so many classic matches. I don't know what they would have got paid individually to turn up and play, because they're all big stars, weren't they, at the time?
Well, Jack played, Arnold played, yeah. They were all there.
Yeah.
Gary
yeah.
played.
Yeah, they all, Seve played.
Yeah.
It was a
who's who.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, Paul, before we move on, the top 10 of the world, please.
In 10th place is Jason Day. 9th is Jordan Spieth. 8th, Ricky Fowler. 7th, Rory McIlroy. 6th is Francesco Molinari. 5th, John Rahm. 4th, Justin Rose. 3rd, Justin Thomas. 2nd, Brooks Koepka. And at the top of the pile yet again, Dustin Johnson.
Now, on to this week's event, the Made in Denmark, Thomas Bjorn's home course, Silkeborg Golf Club, a golf course I haven't been to, but I will be going this week. And speaking of the European captain, he'll know the identity of his 8 automatic selections in Paris next month when this finishes. And probably, you know, when the process is a year long and you spend your time as a captain looking at, oh, that might happen, or he's played well, and you'd probably be quite pleased to get to it's done and dusted.
Yeah.
And I've got my team.
I think so. I mean, it's virtually in place now, isn't it? There's one or two things may happen. But again, just as we mentioned with Jim Furyk, it's going to be difficult for Thomas to pick the 4.
OK, give us the automatic 8 right now as it stands. Two lists.
OK, 2 lists. The first list is the European list. In 4th is Tommy Fleetwood. 3rd would be Tyrrell Hatton. 2nd, Justin Rose. Francesco Molinari leads the European list. Now, from the world rankings list, Torbjörn Olesen, Alex Noren, Rory McIlroy and John Rahm are the 4 from there.
So, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, who played last week, as did Poulter, Casey and Knox, none of them finished high enough to get past to Bjorn Olesen. Cabrera-Bello, Casey and Poulter had to finish sort of 16th or 18th or better to get it done. They didn't. So Torbjörn hangs on to that last spot. Torbjörn will have his own luck to make in the Made in Denmark because he's the guy they're all shooting at. But there are no more points lists to be won in the States that will count. Cabrera-Bello, Poulter, Casey and Knox are not coming across to earn world ranking points at the Made in Denmark. So they cannot make the team on merit.
Their race is run and they will be relying on a pick from Thomas Bjorn. They cannot get into the team on the top 8 as it stands, like you say, because they're not over in Denmark.
So the next 3 after Torbjörn Olesen on the world's points list are Poulter, Cabrera-Bello and Casey. If you were them, would you have come across and played in the Made in Denmark to make your own luck?
Yes, I think I probably would have done. It is difficult not being in that situation and what the FedEx Series is doing, but we also don't know whether they've maybe already had...
Is it possible that Thomas has phoned those 3 or 2 of them or 1 of them or whatever and made assurances? Because if I'm Cabrera-Bello, we know Poulter's going to get a... I think he's going to get a pick. He's got close enough and the Ryder Cup, it does it for him. You know, he comes good at that. We've seen that before. Casey rejoined the tour so he could play Ryder Cup. He's got close. Cabrera-Bello, could he be assured of a pick? If I was Cabrera-Bello, I think I'd be coming across to Denmark.
Yeah, probably I would be with you on that one, Rob. I'd be coming across to try and play and make sure.
You know, it's only another FedEx Cup event. It's just, I don't know. I guess you make your choices.
You do. And
if he gets left out, if Cabrera-Bello gets left out, he doesn't get picked, and he could have got in the team by going to Denmark, I don't know how you reconcile that with yourself.
No, and I don't think he'll get much sympathy from any of the players. That you know, they all had a chance, and but we don't know. But what we do know, it's not in his hands now.
No, and Paul Casey got himself in great shape at the start of last week and then fell backwards badly.
Yes, he did. Paul's had a very consistent season, I think, though, and you know, that highlight of the win on the PGA Tour. He's been across a few times and played over here, so you don't know what's gone on.
It's a risk, though, isn't it?
It's a huge risk, but would it be a huge risk to leave him out of the team?
Oh, well, that's Captain Bjorn's got... He's got the pleasure of thinking about Poulter, Cabrera-Bello, Casey, Stenson, Garcia. Maybe Thomas Peters, if he wins this week, will be a consideration for a pick. He's only got 4, so there's going to be tears.
There will be tears.
There will be tears, and that's the pressure of making the Ryder Cup side. So, Eddie Pepper was the only man who could have got past to Bjorn Olesen had he won the Czech Masters. He didn't. He finished 9th. That's still very good. He has another chance alongside Matthew Fitzpatrick, but they've both got to win to get past Torbjörn. It depends how the Dane plays.
Yeah, it's really in Torbjörn's hands, isn't it? The old Thunder Bear there. He's if he has a great week, then he's going to make it. He'll secure that. But like you said, Eddie wins or Matt wins.
Yeah.
And
do you know, it's like if I'm Eddie Pepperell or Matt Fitzpatrick, there's absolutely nothing to lose. It's like a free go. It's a free hit.
It is.
Just point me at every flag and let's go.
Yeah, all the pressure's on Torbjörn, isn't it, at the start of the week. He knows what he's got to do. But there again, you know, it's all in his hands.
Erlison's been very impressive the last few weeks, and I believe he's a pick anyway.
Yeah, not just the last few weeks. Over the last couple of years, he's been very impressive as a player. But he's standing up there and he doesn't look like he's going to wilt, does he?
So Erlison, OK, is your eighth player. He's automatic. He's in. Who are your next four? Who are you picking?
Oh, well, what a great question. I think you said that you would put Poulter in.
No, don't say what I said.
No, I think okay. You're right. You know, is he the postman? He delivers. I think
he's played well.
He's played well.
I think perceived wisdom. If Poulter is there or thereabouts, it's something happens to him at the Ryder Cup. I'm with you. I'd pick him. We're one for one there.
Okay, so I would go for Paul Casey. I think I would around there. I love the way Henrik Stenson plays.
He's got elbow issues, though, hasn't he? He took last week off. Could he break down?
Well, it'd be one of those that you would have to nurture him. You wouldn't necessarily have to play him in the foursomes and the four balls. I think he would be a very, very strong addition to a European Ryder Cup team.
So you've got Poulter, Casey, Stenson.
I have. And one more.
Yes.
You're wanting that one now.
Well, I know a lot can happen with Fitzpatrick this week. You know, if he was to win or get close, if Thomas Peters was to win, Eddie Pepperell, it's not straightforward, is it?
No, and
the elephant in the room is Sergio Garcia.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't play for me, but I think Russell Knox would.
You would play Russell Knox?
Yeah.
Really? Even though he's been, I don't think Russell's going to get a pick, and I don't think Sergio should get a pick.
So who's
Sergio
your
didn't Come make. On. Didn't make the FedEx Cup.
Never mind that.
The top 20, 125 in America.
Give,
didn't make
give
that.
Give us your
so
four.
I'm going Poulter, Casey, Cabrera Bayer.
Oh.
Stenson, sorry.
Yeah, right.
Stenson, yeah. No, I think Rafa should have come across and played in Denmark.
Right.
I'm going Stenson, as long as the elbow's fine, Poulter, Casey, and I think Thomas Peters is going to play well this week.
Excellent. And will play his way in.
No, he can't play his way in.
No, but in terms of a pick for Thomas.
Yeah, if he plays like I think he's going to play this week, I would pick him.
Very good.
So we'll see. I'm really hanging myself out there dry because he's got to play very well, first of all. He wasn't far away last week, Thomas Peters. So we'll see. Bogeyed two of the last three to finish ninth. He's close. It's going to be a great week in Denmark. Really looking forward to it.
Sensational.
And good luck to Thomas Bjorn, by the way. Good luck with the phone calls.
He'll need it. And
Sergio, he might put Sergio on the team, mightn't he?
When is he announcing?
It's Wednesday. Wednesday, the 5th of September, Thomas Bjorn will divulge his four wildcard selections. So with that, and in Denmark, with the Torbjörn Erlandsen hanging on to eighth, Thomas Peters maybe winning, or Matt Wallace or Matthew Fitzpatrick, it's going to be a brilliant week in Denmark, Silkeborg. Thomas Bjorn's, it's ironic that it's Thomas Bjorn's golf course when he's the captain and he's going to make all those decisions. It's going to be interesting. So, yeah, can't wait to get stuck into that. Don't know much about the golf course, but it's just under 7,000 yards, which used to be a lengthy links. It's not anymore.
No, it's not. It could almost be a pitch and putt. Par 72, so I think we're going to go very low with the score in there this week, Rob.
So thinking about field and who's playing, give us a sense then.
Who's playing this week? Well, of course, we've mentioned Thomas Bjorn, but also Lucas Beauregard. Lee Westwood's in the field, Danny Willett, Martin Kaymer, Richard McAvoy, Romain Wattel, Jordan Smith, Eduardo Molinari will be in there, SSP Chaurasia, and Wang will also be in the field, as well as John Daly.
And we know about Fitzpatrick playing and Thomas Peters playing, Eddie Pepperell playing. It's going to be a big, big week, no doubt about that. So predictions, you know the rules, one from anyone you like and one from outside the top 50 last year.
OK, my predictions for this week, I'm going for Thomas Peters and I'm also going for the leader of the current challenge tour, which is JB Hansen.
So did I turn you on to Thomas Peters there? As I felt he might get a pick if he gave it a rip this week?
For your ego, yes, but
no. No, I've got no ego. That's fine. I just wondered if I turned you.
No, you didn't.
No.
I came in with Thomas in my mind.
Right, I'm going to counter that with, I think Torbjørn Erlendsen has been, I think he'll be fantastic in the Ryder Cup because he's got that kind of up and at him attitude. That's the way he plays, which I love watching. So I'm going to go for Torbjørn Erlendsen in front of his home fans to just put the icing on the cake in terms of his Ryder Cup inclusion. And my other pick is going to be Matt Wallace, who's had a really, really good season, and he was outside the top 50 last year. So you've put your hands in the air like that, like you know, like I've stolen one.
I was
one
looking
there.
From an outsider, not you, like not, you know. What, out, he's a winner.
The rules
he's
are
a winner.
The rules are outside the top 50. I don't want you coming in next week and lording it in here. I want a bit of humbleness and humility from you. I'm never going to get it. That's it for now. Next week, we will review the maiden Denmark and tell you who's made the Ryder Cup, certainly the 8 guaranteed players anyway. And then we'll look ahead to the Jamie Spence Invitational, also known as the Omega European Masters, up in the mountains in Kronsursier. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from Paul Eales, who's gone for
Thomas Peters and JB Hansen, happy golfing, everyone.
And myself, Robert Lee, has gone for Torbjørn Erlendsen and the outsider, that is, Matt Wallace. We'll see you next time.